All right, guys, new podcast today. I've enjoyed getting to know some of our great pork producers across the state of Iowa here over the last few months. And I tell you what, I think the guy in here with me right now, I think we're going to have a good time. Dave Struthers is in here with me. Dave, nice to meet you today.
Nice to meet you too, Chris.
Where are you from?
I'm from Southeast Story County, town of Collins. So I'm in the same great county as Ames, where the Cyclones are.
That's what I like to hear. Yeah. That's what I like to hear right there. You, how long have you been a pork producer in our state?
Well, 32 years as an adult, so 32 years as a pork producer, because I started farming right out of high school, raising pigs.
That's awesome. You guys are, man, I feel like the pork producers are all over the news right now.
Well, we are, and sometimes not in a good way.
Yeah. Is everything okay?
Well, we're going to make some adjustments. I mean, markets overreact when there's bad news. Sometimes they overreact when there's good news. Right now, it's bad
news.
It's like
a quarterback, right?
Well, yeah, it's always
blame the quarterback.
Blame the quarterback. You blame something. You know, things happen, and you know, there's an old saying. You know, buy the rumor, sell the fact. Well, everybody. Oh, the rumor was that tariffs were going to come on, and everything was going to go terrible, and so the markets went that way, even though the tariffs haven't even been enacted yet.
Yeah, that's kind of how the markets tend to be. You, I do think that it's cool. One of the first things that you said to me when you came in, and we were getting to know each other a little bit, was that. And it's why I'm kind of passionate about doing these podcasts is that people need to be educated about things, right? And I just feel like, and I, you know what, Dave, I had to go back and we had to reschedule this. We're supposed to do this. I had to go back to my hometown for a funeral last week. And I was talking to a bunch of my friends who are farmers when we were there that night. And we weren't even talking about any of this stuff. I feel like those guys get forgotten about often. And just in the sense that there's nobody out there defending, there's nobody out there telling their story. Constantly, and that's why I like guys like you doing stuff like this.
That's a problem we've had in agriculture. There's only 2% of the population in the United States is involved in production agriculture, and we're busy working, feeding people. We're not out there tooting our own horn saying, hey, look at us. We're providing, you know, protein or fiber or whatever for the world, but you know, we're busy just doing it and just assume people know where their food's coming from, and we found that not to be the case.
Yeah, no, it's great. We love what you guys are doing. And I've loved getting to know Joyce and some of the people at Iowa Pork, and she gives me these cool little fact sheets, too. We'll get to some of that here in a little bit.
Sure.
Who's your favorite Cyclone of all time?
Of all time?
All-time favorite Cyclone.
Any sport?
Any sport. Any era. Could be a coach, player.
The only coach would be Johnny Orr.
Okay, that's a
good
choice.
Of a basketball guy. I went to Iowa State Johnny Orr basketball camp back in the summer of 1981.
Wow.
And was up there for basketball camp, and I remember going to the weight room area, and a great football player, first football player from the Cyclones that was really a standout in my mind. Dwayne Crutchfield.
Okay, yeah. And, heard good stories.
And that kid, he was over there in the corner. And anyway, the strength coach is talking to us basketball guys. The football camp guys had been there earlier. And he said, hey, Dwayne, come over here. I want to introduce you some guys. He said, this is one of the best running backs Iowa State's had in a long time, Dwayne Crutchfield. And that guy just had every muscle bulging. I mean, his neck from the base of his skull down to his shoulders, it was just kind of like a triangle. He was just big old strong kid. And unfortunately, he had some injuries. But, man, he was good when he was healthy.
Yeah, a lot of the old-timers tell me about him and how much fun that he was to watch.
Well, I'm an old-timer, so.
How long have you been going? Do you remember going to Iowa State games?
I haven't honestly been to a lot of games, but I followed Iowa State. They're my favorite school in the nation, especially in this state. And
that's good.
You know, and like I said, I really like basketball, but I try to get in, you know what's going on as much as I can.
Do you? One of the things that I think is cool about what we've been doing is I always get in the fall, guys will like tweet me. Do you know, are you on Twitter at all? You know,
Facebook. Okay, I know what Twitter is. I just don't.
They'll tweet me photos of them in the combine,
right?
And they're listening to the podcast and stuff. Are you that guy? Are you out like listening to the football games while you're harvesting and stuff like that?
Yep. There's times when I have to get out of one piece of equipment, you know, or to get out of the truck to unload it, and it's like a real close, you know, fourth and one, you know, at the 3 yard line or something.
Yeah.
So I got to sit in the truck a little longer.
That's what I was going to ask. You know, are you that guy or do you?
Yeah, I'm that guy. I don't just hop out, you know. But sometimes I have to change the stations, though. They get me too nervous. I get too worried about what's going to happen. It's like, Dave, I can't do anything about it, so I'll just listen after the fact whether we made it or we didn't, you know.
So you got kids that go to Iowa State, you said?
I've got one still there. She's going to graduate here this spring.
Okay. What's her degree in?
Family and childhood development.
Awesome.
Sociology major.
Awesome. Yeah, that's it becomes a family affair. It really does when you get inside one of those schools and it kind of becomes a part of you. And I feel like Iowa State, and I told Jared this. Jared is he's kind of talked to this about before, but Jared didn't really have a tie to Iowa State at all, mm-hmm. right, when you came up. Mm-hmm. What did I tell you at that basketball game? What was the specific? I don't remember.
Yeah, you said you go to – it was Iowa State 2014. George Niang made the – or 2013. Made the buzzer beater to – over Aaron White to win the game. And Chris said to me after the press conference, he's like, you go to a few of these games and it gets in your blood.
Yeah.
And you might not love Iowa State now, but it won't take long.
Yeah.
And he was right. I mean, I didn't grow up an Iowa State fan. My uncle and my great aunt both graduated from there. One of my cousins graduated from there. Other than that, I went there because of the in-state tuition and because one of my friends went to school there. And
well, you made a good choice.
I was going to say, it's 6 years later, and here I am. So
great.
So so Joyce gave me this fact sheet. This is insane to me. And you got to walk me through this, all right, Dave?
All right.
Is it true that a pork tenderloin has less fat in it than a skinless chicken breast?
Yes, it does. Pork tenderloin... there's pork loin and there's pork tenderloin. They oftentimes get confused. But the tenderloin is a little bit smaller muscle.
Okay.
It's extremely flavorful and tender, but it has lower fat than a boneless, skinless chicken breast. We have the American Heart Association Heart Healthy Seal of Approval on that particular cut, and it's very versatile, very tasty.
I would have never guessed that.
Unfortunately, a lot of people are like you and wouldn't have guessed that.
So why? Where's the disconnect come?
Oh, I think it goes back to the old times when pork was seen as fat, and it was back in the 20th century until maybe the 1970s. We started getting leaner and looking for healthier cuts of meat and transitioned from being produced for lard and fat to being produced for meat.
Hmm. And when did that stop?
Well, when did what stop?
Well, when did the, you know...
The lard and the
correct.
Fat thing?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
You know.
What era?
You know, I would say in the late 70s, 80s. By the time late 80s, we really got in a pinch, and you wouldn't remember it. You're too young. Late 80s, we got all this fat's bad for you type thing, and so, you know, we went to different fats and away from animal fats, and now they've actually shown that animal fats are better absorbed by the body and are better for you than a lot of the vegetable fats and vegetable oils. I mean, there's years that margarine was the thing, and now margarine's bad, butter's what's good for you. So you know, it's an animal fat, and animal proteins are good.
Yeah, because they used to, like, even I feel like in the last couple of years, even they're like, oh well, you should be drinking like the
whole milk.
The whole milk, not the skim anymore.
Right, and the big reason of that is protein. The protein will fill you up, so you may not drink as much of it. So rather than, you know, drinking two or three glasses of skim, you drink one of whole and get more nutrition out of it. The same thing, you know, with pork. Pork's high in protein and B vitamins and other things that our body needs. And so eating pork tide you over and keep you from snacking so much.
So the last time a couple of guys were in here with me and they were telling me about this, and I think this is a good talking point, is it's starting to be grilling season if it could just warm up a little bit.
Yeah, calendar-wise, it's grilling season.
Yeah, it should be. So we've got a new temperature.
Yes.
To cook your pork to, right?
That's correct.
It's now 145 degrees?
Yep. Back in 2011, the Department of Agriculture Department of Agriculture actually came out and said 145 degrees and then let it rest for about 3 minutes, because once you're that hot, it's still going to continue cooking on a little bit. But it would be more like a medium to medium rare is eligible for pork cooking, because you'll get a tender, juicy piece of meat. The issue we have, as we were talking about with this pork being so lean, is there's not a lot of fat, and that's what retains moisture. And so when you were cooking it to a higher temperature, temperature or cooking it longer, you're drying it out because there's not any fat there to keep it moist. And so then you have something that's dry and tough. And we don't want a dry, tough eating experience. We want something that has flavor and juiciness. And we can do that at 145 really well.
So does, like, you know, when people, when you talk about your steak, everybody's go, oh, I want a medium rare. I want well done. What do
you can do the same thing with pork.
Okay.
Medium, medium well, medium rare. Yeah, you can do that and not have to worry about anything. Back in the old days, there was a parasite that when pigs were fed garbage and they lived on dirt their entire life, they could pick up what's trichini or trichinosis. And to be able to alleviate that, the meat from pigs had to be cooked to 165. That has been eliminated from the country because of the fact that we don't raise animals that way. That's not the way we feed them. We feed them, they eat better than I do. They eat a balanced diet every day, and they're kept clean and in good shape.
That's interesting too, because one of the things I've seen, the more I've worked with the pork producers, I've seen evolve. So when I was in even college, in spring break, I would shovel pork barns.
Like, okay.
I did that for 3-4 years, and boy, it's just not like that anymore. Like, these things are temperature controlled. Like, these animals are living the high life.
Yeah, most of the modern facilities are environmentally controlled. They have curtains on the sides to let fresh air in during the warm weather. You know, we got furnaces in there to keep them a certain temperature. But you know, that's, you know, there's all kinds of producers. I've got a little bit of that myself, but I've also got some that are in deep bedded facilities, and they're enjoying the sunshine today. Maybe not the, 38 degree temperatures that it was earlier, but
yeah, absolutely. So one of the big things that the Iowa pork producers do as well, and I got to be a small part of it last year, was you guys do quite the party at the state fair. Do you get to do that? Do you participate in that?
I have been down there at least 3 days a year for the state fair activities. In the last several years, I was fortunate to be serving as president of the Iowa Pork Producers in 2015.
But, wow. You were the president.
I was the president at one time.
Look at this guy.
Yeah, I'm like a George Bush. I'm a past president, a couple past now. But no, I go down there and I just enjoy talking to people, and then
it's fun.
We sell them a good meal, and you know, a pork chop on a stick, whatever you want. It's going to be good.
That's cool. So what about I want to talk just a little bit more about the grilling stuff with you, because I think that's interesting to a lot of the guys who are listening. A lot of guys doing the smoking now.
Yes, it's a really big deal. We just happened to run a contest here in March, coordinating with the NCAA basketball tournament called Pulled Pork Madness.
And we had a contest. I saw that, yeah.
We had a contest, and I had the opportunity just yesterday to eat some pulled pork from the winner.
Was it?
It was awesome. It was awesome. I mean, it's hard to get bad pulled pork anyway, but this stuff was just great.
Who won? Do you remember?
Moose Barbecue in Newton, Iowa.
Okay.
And he had to go and buy a bigger smoker here recently because he was getting such a good clientele from the word of mouth of how good his product was that he had a 150-pound smoker, and I think he said he added a 240-pound smoker, so he can run around 400 pounds of meat a day, and I will see if he can keep up with that. But he's doing great, and we got a great Iowa product. He buys all of his meat, whether it's beef or pork, here in the Midwest, and tries to source stuff locally. And he said his big specialty is in the summertime when the tomatoes and the lettuce are around. He buys local tomatoes and lettuce, and he has this bacon, this real thick cut smoked bacon. He smokes it and sugars it, and he says his BLTs are a really hot item.
Wow, I bet. Yeah, the pork producer, the tour thing, we're thinking about going on that.
Oh, yeah, that we do the tour around, so you go out and see the different farms and then restaurants.
Thinking about doing that.
I had the opportunity a couple of years ago to be kind of the welcome speaker when they met here in Ankeny at the Soybean Association or FFA. I can't remember.
Soybean Association.
It was one of those two places where we met. I think maybe it was the FFA building that we met at. Anyway, with the group all met there and kind of got an overview of the pork industry And as you can tell, I'm not shy. I like to talk. And
that's good.
And I like to let people know what the pork industry is, what it does, and why it's here, and how it's valuable to this state and the country.
So I got into smoking just a little bit last summer. And I had a really cheap, crappy smoker. It was actually given to me for free, mm-hmm. so it wasn't anything fancy that I was working with. But it was difficult to control the temperature because it was such a cheap one.
Right.
And I found over the course of the summer, the best and easiest thing to smoke when you're not a pro is just a pork loin. Like, yeah. It's hard to screw that up.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, the big thing is, like I say, if you can keep it so you can keep it moist, keep what juices are in there there. But pork loin is just so incredibly versatile. You can put rubs on it. You can put sauces on it. You can marinate it. You can inject it. You can make it basically meet any ethnic meal you want. You can make an Italian season. You can make Mexican. You can, you know, do traditional stuff. It's very versatile.
So what I started to do towards the end was I'm not patient.
That's the problem with smoking. You got to be patient.
Yeah. So like, and the problem is again, like my smoker was so crappy that I couldn't just leave it. Right.
Right.
So I would get it to the point where I'm, I don't know, 120.
Okay.
And then I'd chop it up.
Try to hurry it up.
And but what I would do though, is you put some sugar mm-hmm. and stuff around it and it was like burn ends.
Yeah.
And it actually kind of became my like specialty.
Yeah.
Well, I just gave everybody my secret.
Well, that's what everybody that has a barbecue restaurant has some little secret idea that they do. I mean, this gentleman that won the pulled pork madness, he was talking about how he played with it, you know, how figuring out how many hours to cook it and smoke it and whatever. He said his biggest problem was early on in the early days. He kept opening the lid to see, oh, how's it coming? How's it coming? And he says, you just got to just leave it shut and just let it go. But yeah, it is. It's one of those things. It's a skill that's got to be learned. And we're not a real patient society. So you've got to have some patience to be a good smoker.
Yeah. It's actually a really good hobby if you just want to slow your life down a little bit too.
That too.
I'm thinking about buying a new or a smoker this summer so I can kind of get a little bit better. So if you're what's your like go-to pork dish? Is it the Iowa chop?
I like a chop. You know, when I'm down at the pork tent, I usually get an Iowa chop, a chop on the stick. We've got a little different seasoning on that. That's really good, but you know, it's kind of whatever mood I'm in. I mean, we had a new a bacon cheddar burger last year.
Oh, yeah.
That was really tasty, too. So, you know, I don't think you can really go wrong. My wife and I, she didn't grow up in Iowa, so she didn't eat a lot of pork until she married me. And we have a locker here in central Iowa that's won a lot of awards with their curing and so forth. And we have them do a smoked chop for us. And man, that thing just falls apart in your mouth. Mm-hmm. It's just delicious. So that smoked chop that they do is probably one of my favorites.
What's the best way to eat bacon?
With your mouth.
Well played.
Okay.
Do you no, but like if you want to get like the so let's say you got the best strip of bacon possible. Okay. Cuz some people like it like really crispy, okay. And some people don't like it. Like, is it just preference?
It's all a personal preference. My wife likes hers very crispy, where she can hold a strip in her hand and just it holds straight. I like mine to flop. You know, I don't want it, you know, meat colored raw, but I want it flexible. That's my preference. I have some flavor and some flexibility to it. You know, some people can get it so brown that it almost blackened and doesn't have as much flavor, and I don't want it to shatter in my teeth.
I feel like the bacon industry is kind of taken off as kind of a trendy thing too over the last 10 years or so. You got the bacon fest,
yes.
You got bacon stuff popping up everywhere.
Yeah, you pretty much hit that nail on the head. About the last 10 years, bacon has been a really big deal. I mean, it started out with a lot of sandwich topping. You know, they were getting some of the meat so lean that it didn't have a lot of flavor, and it was tough, so they added bacon for flavor and some juiciness from the fat from the bacon, and it's kind of grown to be its own thing that you've got specialty restaurants that are, you know, bacon this and bacon that. We've got, you know, chocolate covered bacon for a dessert item. You've got
chocolate covered bacon.
Oh, it's excellent. It's that
really?
That sweet and that salty combination is delicious. You've got people that are using, you know, bacon bits on maple glazed donuts. You've got, I mean, you pretty much name it. You can put about bacon in anything. You know, I mean, I've seen things say life is better with bacon, and I would agree.
Yeah. Well. I can't argue there. Like my wife's like that. She'd eat bacon every meal. Grew up in that type of a family.
Yeah, well, I like your wife, and I haven't met her.
My wife's grandpa, he's now deceased, he would put salt on his bacon.
Really, it wasn't salty enough.
Yeah,
for him.
I know. That's what I was like. Do you have like a salt deficiency, man?
Grandma bought low sodium bacon just so he, you know, keep him from stroking out with the salt.
It just always cracked me up because I'm like, what are you doing over there? You're, you know,
salting your bacon.
It's already like the most salty food that you can find.
It usually is, but you know, like I said, there's a lot of different varieties out there, and you know, even if you're going to the store, you know, and the different companies and the prepackaged bacon as well as the ones that have their own meat counter, each one's got a little bit different smoke or a little bit different curing process, so you can really change those things up.
So if, as a pork producer, are you a fan of the hot dog or are you anti-hot dog?
Oh, I'm fine with the hot dog. A hot dog just doesn't use the high quality cuts. People always make jokes about you don't want to know what goes into hot dogs.
What is in a hot dog?
What is it? It's basically pieces that aren't large muscle cuts. It's trimmings and pieces. So you think about, you know, the animal, you're getting big muscles on the ham or on the loin, you know, where the chops come from and stuff, or the front shoulder, which is, you know, actually called the butt, but it's the shoulder that they use for smoking a lot of times for your pulled pork. But you've got other meat on the legs or trimmings around other parts that aren't a nice big slice, but it's still good meat. It's still off that same animal that was taken care of properly. So it has a good flavor and taste, but you blend that stuff in. And of course they, you know, add different spices and whatnot to make it go. But
so there's a lot of slanderous talk out there about the hot dog.
Well, hot dogs always are. And you know, you don't really, other than maybe a few pure beef hot dogs, most of your hot dogs have some chicken, have some pork, and have some beef in it, or chicken and pork, the two of those. So it's not usually just one species of meat.
Wow. So like if I'm, next time I'm buying hot dogs for my daughter.
Okay.
Is there like a difference in like meat quality? So if I get like there's a hot dog that's like $5.99 compared to the $2.99 one?
Well,
or is it pretty much all the same?
Oh, there's going to be a variance. I mean, it's just like buying a car. You know, there's going to be certain cars that are a little better quality and they're going to cost more. And some of your meats are going to be a little better quality and going to cost more. It's going to come down to a personal preference. I mean, look to see how much, you know, fillers some of those have. And they start adding in, you know, soy filler or something else, you're getting less meat. Well, that's a cheaper product, so it should be a cheaper hot dog, but it's also maybe going to not be as tasty or be as healthy for you.
I'm a fan of the hot dog. Do you like the hot dog, Jared?
I love hot dogs. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't get to eat hot dogs at home. My wife says they're too fatty, but so I eat hot dogs
when
she's gone.
That pork tenderloin.
I had a tenderloin sandwich today before I came here.
Have you had the tenderloin in Bondurant?
Yes, I've had the one there several times.
Really good.
I actually, because I'm on the Restaurant and Food Service Committee for Iowa Pork, that does that tenderloin contest, I've had the opportunity to go around and try several of our winners and several of the candidates for that contest. And there's some really good tenderloins out there.
Where's your favorite tenderloin in the state?
And I don't want to make anybody mad, but Nick's Tenderloin.
That's good.
That is awesome. The original ones down there on Army Post Road.
Yeah.
I happened to be, when they were nominated 2 years ago, I was the judge and went around there and followed all the protocol for judging this. And, you know, I gave it almost a perfect score because I wanted it to make the finals, because that is the one drawback we have with that contest, is the fact that we have various people doing that preliminary round. And somebody, you may never score anything over 80. I might score most everything over 80, but, you know, and push it higher. So we're all relative. So they're going by overall high scores as to who gets the final round. And I wanted to make sure that they got in the final round, and they did, and they won, and I was very pleased for them. And it's made a big difference in their lives, because they've opened another location over in the West Glen Center, and they're doing very well.
That's awesome. That's got to make you feel good to see these businesses thriving because of what Iowa pork producers are doing.
It does. Just like I mentioned, the guy that did the pulled pork thing, he's getting all kinds of business
awesome.
Now just because of that. You know, and you don't think it's getting that much notoriety, but it is. People are watching that. And there's actually Facebook page in the Pursuit of Pork Tenderloins, and it's not affiliated with Iowa pork producers at all. It's just a group of people that love a good breaded pork tenderloin, and they have their favorite restaurants from all around the Midwest. They travel around, and they'll take pictures of one here and one there. And
That's awesome. Yep. So when you're judging it, what's the criteria?
Our criteria has to be, of course, appearance plays a small part in it, but then the thickness of the pork, the temperature, it has to be juicy. It's not one of those that all you taste is some kind of seasoning.
That's what I was wondering, yeah.
You don't want a bunch of breading on it. Yeah. You don't want to just taste seasoning. You want to actually taste the meat. You know, if the bun is toasted, that's always a plus. You know, the condiments that come on it help too. But really the biggest point category is the taste of the meat and the thickness of the meat. It doesn't mean it has to be a half pounder or a 1 pounder or whatever. There's various sizes, but we don't want one that's beat down, that's about the thickness of 2 sheets of paper and maybe half the size of the table, but you're not going to taste the meat when it's beat down that much. We want something with a little thickness to it and some good juiciness and flavorness. You mentioned Bondurant. You know, they were a runner-up a few years back.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, on our Tenderloin Trail, which is a program we started last June or maybe the 1st of July, where previous winners of our tenderloin contest, as well as a staff, IPPA staff choice, a governor's choice, and there was another category, I can't remember, but they got another one in there, that you can go around, and if you eat at least at 10 of these places within a 2-year period and get a stamp on it, you can send your passport, we call it, back in, and you get a free T-shirt. So yeah, I conquered the Tenderloin Trail.
Yeah,
and I'm over halfway there. So
you're gonna get that T-shirt.
I'm gonna get it before the 2 years. I may not get it yet this year.
I need to make that a priority. My old man loves the pork tenderloin.
Well, good.
It doesn't matter where we go.
I always try to get one if it's on the menu. I try to get it because not only is it a product I raise, but I want to just see how they're doing it.
Do you travel at all?
I do.
So, when you go to, let's say you're in Florida.
You're not going to find one.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
Yeah, it's really
you do, it's not as good, right?
Right, right. No, it's more of a regional deal. You know, Indiana, I heard, has laid claim to having the pork tenderloin origination. They may or may not have. I can't say either way. But it's basically a Midwest deal. Indiana to eastern Nebraska. You know, and I don't know how far north you're going to find them, but Iowa is really the hotbed of them because we have the most pigs in the country, and we have a lot of people that like to make that cut a loin and tenderize it and bread it and make it into a tasty sandwich.
Well, that's great. I'm glad that it's grilling season.
Yes.
I'm going to be making me some myself. Jared, do you have anything? What's your favorite pork tenderloin?
Where's my favorite pork tenderloin?
Yeah.
I know the Ice House has a good one down in Clarendon.
The Ice House.
I think they have been, I know they've been nominated, and they may have got in the top five because we always name a top five. Like I said, I don't get to Southwest Iowa much.
You need to get down there. It's God's country, Dave.
Well, it might be, but, you know, I guess, you know, I'm not close enough to God.
Dave,
try.
Dave, Chris is on a diet. What pork dish do you recommend for him?
Well, if he's on a diet, the tenderloin would be great.
I could do anything,
pork
really.
Loin. Yeah, I mean, depends on what kind of diet. You know, a lot of people, I've got a good friend that's lost a lot of weight kind of on that Atkins diet, high protein, you know.
That's what I'm doing right now.
Yeah, it's basically pretty much anything.
I'm just eating fruits, vegetables, meat, and cheese.
Yeah.
And just not eating the carbs.
The carbs, yeah. A lot of people, that whole anti-meat, anti-fat thing was kind of a misnomer.
It's a bunch of crap.
Well, it came out because of President Eisenhower had a heart attack, and the doctor, back in the 1950s, the doctor thought, well, because he wasn't eating enough whole grains and wasn't getting enough grains, and so they got this big cereal thing going on and basically took us away from the eggs and meat for breakfast, and people were left getting hungry about 10 o'clock in the morning, so they started snacking, and
yep.
A lot of times they were snacking was a candy bar. Well, we know that's not really good for you, and they found out a lot of these things early on that we were told were bad are now good. So as we learn as we go.
So here's one of the things that I've learned over the last 2 weeks of doing this is that oftentimes like the marinades and seasonings,
mm-hmm.
or not seasonings for instance, but the marinades and like the sauces,
right.
are not necessary. So what I've been doing with these meats, oftentimes like a pork chop,
right.
is it's amazing what a little bit of olive oil with some salt and pepper and a little garlic will do. And then you can really taste the meat that way as well.
Right. That or you know, there are some, you know, just that you sprinkle on a little seasoning. You don't have to do a big marinade or herb. I mean, it all depends on your personal preference. But, you know, the big thing with pork is you don't want to cook it fast because, you know, low and slow is kind of the acronym or the, not acronym, but the terminology to use. Cook it low and slow, it'll stay juicy and tender, and then you won't need to add any marinades or sauces or extra things.
Well, Dave, it's been a pleasure, man. This has been a lot of fun. I've learned a lot. I'm hungry now.
Me too.
To be honest with you. And I look forward to coming and hanging out with you guys at the State Fair.
That would be
great.
Let
me know when you're going to be there.
I could
Joyce
do that.
Joyce is going to slap an apron on me, and I'm going to come hang out with you guys and flip some chops.
Oh, that sounds great. I usually have... Like I said, I like to talk to people, so a lot of times I'm the one taking people's money from them. We got somebody up front giving them the ticket so that they coordinates with what they order, and then I take their order and give them the ticket so they can redeem it for their food, take their money, and make that exchange. And I've done that, and also worked with the farrowing display in the Animal Learning Center where the baby pigs are being born, and talked to people about that and how that how that works, because I've done that for my entire life as well.
Wow, that's great. That's great. My daughter would like to hang out and do something. My daughter's three.
Oh, yeah.
And she's kind of taken after her mommy.
Mm-hmm. And likes the animals.
Oh, she's obsessed. Like she's got an 80-pound golden retriever that sleeps at her feet every night. Like, okay. And it's just nonstop. And we're getting into, because a lot of our friends from back home are farmers, right?
Right, right.
And I mean, everything's barnyards and.
Well, good.
Yeah,
it's a good life.
Yeah, it sure is. Thanks, Dave. Thanks for all you guys do too.
We appreciate the pork producers. Now we've got to have consumers. It doesn't do any of us any good to raise it if no one's going to eat it. So that's why we out here promoting it and wanting people that if you eat a little bit of pork, try a little bit more. It's so versatile and it's healthy. It's like anything, you know, it's how you cook it and what you add to it. You can add stuff to it that makes it high calorie, and that's not going to be maybe as healthy, but you don't have to add those things because pork has a lot of versatility.
It sure does. It's tasty. All right. Thanks, Dave. We appreciate you coming in. Thanks for hanging out with us too, Jared. I'm not sure when the next one of these will be, but I'm sure I'll talk with Joyce and Kelsey and we'll get something on the books and we'll start planning for the State Fair and doing all that good stuff. So thanks for listening, guys. Have an awesome weekend here in Central Iowa.